So, Kyler Murray, I don't think, I don't know, what's our surprise level that Kyler Murray, I don't think, has said anything publicly himself.
Came out in the San Francisco Chronicle Post during the Bear Bryant Awards last night. Everybody's phone was blowing up. Kyler Murray reportedly, I think the deadline is Sunday for eligible underclassmen to declare for the draft.
Yeah, January 14th, whatever day of the week that is.
And he reportedly is going to declare for the draft on Sunday. I'm not super surprised based on how his season ended and how well he played and some of the comments that apparently the feedback that maybe he's getting about if he were to commit fully to this, what might be his draft lot in life. But here's what's interesting. Unlike the Astros with Mark Appel a few years ago, he didn't sign. And so they got a compensation.
Mark Appel didn't sign.
Did not sign with the Astros. And they got a compensation pick that turned into Alex Bregman.
No, that was the Brady Aiken that turned into Alex Bregman.
Okay, but same
Appel,
situation.
No, Appel signed.
Appel did sign.
Appel signed. But the year before, Appel got drafted by the Pirates.
I got them mixed up. Aiken never signed with the Astros.
No, they found an elbow problem with
him. They got a compensation pick that they turned into Alex Bregman.
Yeah.
If Kyler Murray goes to the NFL and returns the signing bonus to the Oakland A's, they receive no compensation
because he signed.
Yeah. Because he signed. That's what makes it a big deal for the Oakland A's. He was the 9th overall pick in the baseball draft.
Yeah. This, when you draft a two-sport athlete who's good at both sports, this is the risk you run. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers drafted Bo Jackson with the number one overall pick back in the day, and he never suited up for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, you know, I got a couple of different – I think there's a couple of question marks out there. One, I've heard you guys talk, and Rich, you'll be able to answer this for me. Aren't guys making that jump from the draft and from college to the actual major leagues a lot quicker right now than they have in the past?
Historically, yes.
Yeah, especially college guys because they've got a few years of college under their
belt. But that's not something that started yesterday. It's probably been a gradual thing over the last 10 or 20 years. Because 20 years ago, if you were a college baseball player, you were automatically not considered a major league prospect. That's not the case
anymore. With his skill set, I think he was drafted off his skill set. They've seen a very small sample size of him playing at Oklahoma. So I think he was drafted off just in the elite skill set that he has with the speed and the bat from the bat speed and how well he runs to the, all the different positions he can play. I would imagine that from the baseball guys, he's going to have a pretty good idea because I hear the argument going, well, you can make more money in football with that first contract if you're drafted in the first round than you can in baseball. I doubt he's sitting over there going in his evaluation going, well, I plan on staying in the minor leagues for 4 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's got to either know, hey, I need to bank on that, or somebody has told him, hey, we expect with your skill set that you would make the jump to the big leagues pretty dang quick.
Right, but like I said, he's pretty much got it on the A's right now, and he has said he's been invited to big league camp, which is soon. February 15th, I believe, is when position players report for the A's camp in Arizona. Since he pretty much holds all the leverage, the combine for the NFL is 11 days later on February 26th. I mean, if you're the A's and Murray says, listen, I'm here, I'm working out, I haven't made a decision yet, but I need to go to that combine. Oh, what choice do you have other than to say, sure, go to the combine, we'll see what happens?
Well, that would be foolish, Rich. I mean, it would be foolish on Kyler's point because here's the deal. If Kyler was Trevor Lawrence, then it's a different deal because you've got Trevor Lawrence can no doubt do all the things that quarterbacks struggle with going from college to the pros. He can drive the football down the field. Whether we like it or not, he's prototypical. Whatever that is, the taller, big-armed pocket passer is the guy that never gets any doubt for whatever reason from the NFL guys. Kyler Murray is a guy, regardless of what you think of him, he is a guy that the combine will be of the utmost importance. This will be the most important combine and workout series of workouts for a quarterback in the last 20 years. I mean, Kyler Murray's will. Kyler has to prove, because Kyler has to prove to guys, one, there's a very sample size of playing time. Mm-hmm. He's undersized, he's undersized relatively speaking to what, even though it helps him that the air raid's jumping into pro ball
he's as undersized as it gets.
Right, and Mayfield's doing his thing as an undersized. Breeze is doing his thing. So if there's ever been a time that they'll take the undersized guys into consideration or overlook the size issue, now is that time. But when you watch him play, You don't see him drive the football down the field very often. We're enamored with the ability to escape and buy time and throw into guys that are wide open. But when I watch him throw, and you can say the same thing about Baker Mayfield, but when I watched Baker Mayfield throw, the action, the full body action, the consistency and the accuracy that comes from a full body action is there every throw. It was there the first time you seen him throw to the last time. And with that said, a full body action, he can drive the football down the field where Kyler Murray is a lot of arm. Now, I'm not saying he can't, but I'm saying he's a lot of arm action. He's a lot of throwing it over the top. Because of his skill set with his feet, he's throwing to receivers in a different style in which he'll throw to them in the pros, if
that
makes sense.
So you're making the case that he needs to devote himself entirely to prepping to the max for that combine workout. And I can't argue with that, but he may not feel that way.
But it don't, then he's getting bad advice, which in today's world wouldn't surprise me. But I'm telling you, if he's going to go the football route,
I've heard everything. Agent.
I've heard everything from Kingsbury saying number one overall to everybody saying he's a for sure lock in the first round at the very least. Regardless of which end of that spectrum you fall on, his tail better get on the football field and start throwing and get tightened up for that combine, because it's going to be a big, big push for him to be that guy.
You mentioned Kingsbury. Kingsbury, back on October 28th, the week leading up to the Texas Tech OU game, was asked about Kyler Murray. We know Cliff Kingsbury is now the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, who happened to hold the number one overall pick in the draft, which makes these comments all the more ironic, I guess.
Kyler is, I mean, he's a freak, man. Purdy's a really good young player, and he's going to be a tremendous player, but Kyler is a freak, and I've followed him since he was a sophomore in high school, and just think the world of him and what he can do on a football field, and I've never seen one better in high school, and he's starting to show it now at the college level, and I mean, I don't have enough good things to say about him. He's phenomenal. I've never seen him have a poor outing, not one, which a quarterback, it's impossible to do, but he's done it. And I don't know, I'd take him with the first pick of the draft if I could. I know he's signed up to play baseball, but he is a dominant football player, and I would take him with the first pick.
Oh, well, guess what, Cliff? You now work for the team that has the number one pick in the draft.
And some of the headline writers in our world have taken liberties with this that you shouldn't take, because whatever headline you have about Cliff Kingsbury says he would take Kyler Murray with the number one overall pick.
Sounds like he said it, Rich.
He did, but it should include said back when he was the head coach.
Probably does
this
in the article.
Not this week.
Probably does in the article.
I know, but there's a lot of
everything in the headline.
Right, but there's a lot of misleading headlines out there. That was, and I'm not saying that's not significant. It is.
Yeah.
But that you have to take it in the context that in which it came, and that's Cliff Kingsbury saying that a couple of months ago.
Yeah. Well, let's dig into that from a different perspective. I mean, obviously, that he's got the first overall pick now. He can take him if he wants to.
Well, and Schefter's already fueling the rumor mill that he would consider trading Rosen.
We'll play that in a second. Let's take it
from this perspective of Kingsbury is a former quarterback who clearly can command a room and has all the intangibles needed, right? I mean, he coached several guys from U of H to Texas Tech to the Texas Tech transfer that went to OU, Mayfield. He clearly has an eye for guys that can command a room, the intangible, the it factor. He clearly has that, which I think for most of us, when we look at Kyler, we don't know him. To me, that's first and foremost. If he has that it factor, then he can overcome the size. If he doesn't, then he's going to struggle. If he has the it factor, he can overcome a bunch of things. To me, what Cliff Kingsbury said back then was, this kid has the it factor. This kid can turn a locker room really, really quickly. The kid's a winner. I would take him with my first overall pick.
And we should also mention that Kingsbury has had great things to say about the potential of Josh Rosen as well.
I'm sure he has. Yeah, I would hope so. He just took the Arizona job.
Yeah. Presumably, one of the reasons he took it was because Josh Rosen was there.
Yeah, I would think so. Although I'm guessing Cliff Kingsbury can't be too choosy about NFL jobs he's getting offered.
Right. Well, Sean, check this out, though. Last time I was on with you last Thursday, we talked about the air raid and whether Cliff Kingsbury's transition to the NFL would work. If it's going to work now. And I understand, look, we had a bunch of messages come in. I understand that Cliff Kingsbury's air raid is a little bit different. Everything evolves. Today's air raid is different than Mike Leach's air raid back at Kentucky days and how Mummy's back at Kentucky days. It all evolves, and I understand that. But if that offense, if Cliff Kingsbury's going to stick with that offense and that style of offense, his best bet is a guy like Kyler Murray, a guy like Baker Mayfield. It's not a Josh Rosen.
No, Rosen's a pocket passer.
There ain't no doubt about
it. Yeah, Rosen's a pocket passer, which brings us to the next topic here. It's something we kind of asked John Harris about yesterday, Rich, but not with Kyler Murray.
Yeah, you're right.
We asked him a hypothetical. You know, Johnny said yesterday Trevor Lawrence would be the number one pick in the draft if he came out this year, which, you know, that's which I think is a possibility. We'll never know. But we brought up the possibility of Arizona drafting. Well, if he were out there, would you draft Trevor Lawrence and then move Josh Rosen, who's got a year under his belt? It was a rough year, but I don't think a lot of that was his fault. You had a defensive head coach. You had an OC get fired in the middle of the season. Then you had a Byron Leftwich calling plays, never called plays before, and wasn't a great team all around, not a great roster. There's a reason they're picking number one. Schefter brought that possibility up, obviously using the Kingsbury audio we just played as sort of the impetus for this. And Schefter brought up that possibility today on ESPN, the Cardinals taking a quarterback with the number one pick and then using Josh Rosen as a sort of an eBay commodity.
This is also new and also fresh, but the one thing about the NFL is that quarterbacks are currency. And I can tell you this, that last year when the Cleveland Browns had the first and fourth overall picks, at one point in time, I know people will be skeptical of this, they considered taking quarterbacks at one and four, and then auctioning off one of the quarterbacks that they like less. So if you're the Arizona Cardinals and you like Kyler Murray that much, it's hard to imagine him going number one overall. But maybe there's a scenario that you get him and then you auction off Josh Rosen. If that's what the new quarterback likes, if that's what he wants, why would you not acquiesce to that when you could get a king's ransom for Josh Rosen, who some teams really like? Again, we're getting things started here really early and really putting things out there, but it's not implausible that that scenario could unfold.
Was Josh Rosen's rookie year a detriment? Or what? How does Josh Rosen's rookie year, Clint, affect what his value might be to teams that look at him, maybe liked him last year, and look at him and say he's better than any of these guys coming out, Drew Locke or all these other guys, that Will Greer, that are coming out this year, and somebody picking, say, like Cincinnati picking ninth or whatever, goes, I'll trade the ninth pick and just get Josh Rosen. He's still on his rookie deal, and we think we can turn him into something.
That's a great question, Sean, and here's the kicker, man, is it depends on how he handled the season, right? Because when all those coaches left and walked out the door, they're now going to other places. They've now got ties. We just heard Peyton Manning called the Jets management.
Yeah, vouch for Adam Gase.
That stuff happens every single day throughout the NFL. And if he handled taking the backup role initially and the playing time and struggling and adversities of being the worst team in the league, if he handled it the right way, if he kept the right attitude and showed up on time and wasn't in the streets all the time, and if he handled it the right way, it can be a huge plus for him because, again, teams need – I mean, it amazes me every year how some colleges can't find a good quarterback, a solid starting quarterback, and it baffles me how half the NFL can't find a consistent, solid starting quarterback. So there's always room for good, very, very good young talent. But if he handled it the wrong way, if he was a cancer in the locker room, or if he just – because I know coming out, wasn't he the one that had some –
oh, he's as cocky as it gets.
Yeah. But didn't he have some – I can't remember the term they used. Like, wasn't he a different cat? I mean, wasn't he? Didn't they say like different things motivated
him? Yeah. He's got thoughts outside of football.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And you could see it in his social media. There was also a concern of how much he needed football. I guess both his parents are very well to do.
Sure.
You know, they're both, you know, lawyers or doctors or something like that.
But the answer to your question would be an interesting one based on, like I said, he was pretty much the cockiest guy in the QB class.
Right. Well, if all those coaches that left are out there singing his praising on, look, this kid's a football head, this kid leads the locker room, he's on time, he's a true professional, he is one snap away from being the dude, then I think he'll be a hot commodity and they could possibly move him, assuming the Kyler Murray thing is a possibility. But it's all in how he dealt with it, Sean. You know, to come back full circle to your question, it's how he if he handled the season bad or negatively, then this is ugly for him.
So it's like a glacier, basically, right? We see the 5% that's above water.
Yep.
It's the 95% below water.
Absolutely.
That's going to dictate it. But just as an example, and Rich, I'll bring this back to your New York Giants. They liked Josh Rosen last year by all reports. They ended up taking Saquon Barkley, but Rosen was one of the guys that they were hot for last year. The Giants have the sixth pick in the draft. This mock draft has them taking Dwayne Haskins as a quarterback. If the Cardinals go ahead and take Kyler Murray or were to take a quarterback with the number one pick and Josh Rosen were to become available all of a sudden, Would the Giants look at it and go, hey, let's just trade the sixth pick for a guy who's already taken a beating in the NFL for a year?
I think there would at least be a conversation.
He's learned some lessons. You still get the financial benefit of three more years of his rookie deal plus the fifth year option. So that still exists for you.
Yeah. For the Giants, it's almost the best of both worlds, getting Barkley and Rosen.
A year later. Yeah, maybe so. Now, maybe if you're the Cardinals, you'd have to duke. I don't know what the value would be on Rosen. Is he worth exactly the sixth pick, or would the Cardinals have to send back their third or their fourth? Now, keep in mind, the Cardinals are picking first in every single round. So their third is basically like a second.
Yeah.
Their fourth is basically like a third.
And Rosen might flame out, but it feels to me like he was built for the Big Apple.
Maybe.
I'm serious.
How about that? Yeah. West Coast to the Big Apple. That'd be a culture shock.
Maybe so. What a change in personality from quarterbacks, right? From Eli Manning to Josh Rosen.
But look, as a quarterback, you got to be turned on by the skill players with the Giants. I mean, I've never seen a team. I watch them play, and I'm like, good gosh, these guys are unbelievably talented. I'm a Cowboy guy. I would have took Shepard, their number two receiver. I'd have took him and made him a number one all day long.
Yeah, okay. But they better fix that line.
Sure.
So I'm looking at Dane Brugler's mock draft, and we've had Dane on the show before. He writes for The Athletic now. BMAC knows exactly where I'm going. We need to get Dane on the show next week to at least start some of the draft talk for the Texans. Sadly enough, the week after the divisional round, we're starting draft talk. But I know you guys watch these quarterbacks play. Would you rather have Josh Rosen or Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State?
Golly, man. I'm gonna tell you who spins it better, Dwayne Haskins.
Okay.
It's all about it's the intangibles of it.
Yeah, I get it. From what we know.
How did Haskins handle the whole Urban Meyer thing? You know, that'd be right. My question.
And I guess I'm only asking from the things we see with our own eyes standpoint.
I'll put Haskins' highlight film from this season up against anybody out there. That big sucker can rip it now.
It almost feels like a toss-up between those two guys.
Well, I think if you put them on a field throwing side by side, you would pick Haskins 10 out of 10 physically. If you saw the ball come off his hand, just the untrained eye, if you sat there and watched them throw together, you'd go, Haskins is a dude.
Daniel Jones from Duke. Did you watch him play at all this year? I watched him play in his bowl game.
I caught a little bit of it, but
he feels like one of these guys that's rising in the last month of the season.
That's Cutcliffe.
Anybody tutored by Cutcliffe is going to get some attention.
Yeah. Drew Locke from Missouri. You like him or Josh Rosen?
I like Drew a lot. I like Drew a lot. Drew made a huge jump for me this year. I mean, he Dooley left the Cowboys as a receiver coach at the Cowboys, I believe, and he went up there and he was the OC. So they started trying to implement some more within their system. They stayed spread, but they tried to implement some more pro style type routes. So you got to look at him throwing more pro style type routes in a game, and he impressed me, and he moved around a lot better. I would say Locke right now if you put me on a spot and made me what you are. I would say Locke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not a huge Rosen guy. Like if I can't, to me, and this is because this is the kind of guy that I was. I could relate to everybody, whether you were from the hood in Compton or you were from Southeast Arkansas. You know, I mean, I could relate. That's how I played.
Yeah.
So I believe you got to be. And I just don't. When I watch Rosen and you listen to everything, whatever everybody says, you watch him in interviews. I just don't know that he's going to be that guy in the NFL. And you don't always have to be that guy. I mean, you don't have to be that guy. If you're ridiculously talented, then people like Peyton Manning. I mean, he's like a coach. You know, he didn't need to be that guy.
Right.
So you don't have to be. But I just don't see him. I don't see 10 guys staring at him in the huddle going, I'll take a bullet for my dude.
Yeah, and you need that. All right.